Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 3, 9-17, which can be found in the New Testament section 167 of your Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9-17. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. This is the word of God.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul has an agricultural metaphor. You are God's field, God's garden. And then he goes to an architectural metaphor. You are God's building. Now, I am the last person in the world who should be talking to you about building. My wife, Holly, is a very good builder. I remember the first house we owned, I was gone for 2 weeks and I came back. She had an extra room in the basement that she built all by herself. And someone, when we lived in England, told a TV producer about Holly, so she appeared on Tommy Welch's Do-It-Yourself Academy. And when Tommy asked her, why did you get so good at building, she said, my husband is useless. Now, she claimed she meant to say at building, but that part got left out. And I know we have some architects with us today, some property developers, some contractors. Building is a very interesting way to look at the Christian life. But I was talking with one young architect in the church, and I said, what is it like to train as an architect? And he said, it's architorture. Because building the life can be very, very difficult. But Paul, in telling the church at Corinth to live up to all they are in Christ, uses this powerful image of building. He talks first about, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church at Corinth, like every church since, got caught up in who was their pastor, what nifty programs do they have, who are the key personalities in the church. And Paul says, no, it's all about Jesus. And Jesus is that firm foundation that our praise group sang about, the rock in whom we can trust. How many of you have seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Really worth the trip. I saw it several years ago and I was amazed, and then I went to a lecture by Professor John Berland, who at that time taught at Imperial College in London. He was a civil engineer and he was one of 9 engineers who was asked to save the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Remember in the early 90s they had to close it down because it was tilting so far. So the European Union and the Spirit of Unity got 9 engineers from England, Germany, France, and Italy together. And John Berlin said that there were 9 years of bureaucratic chaos trying to figure out what to do. See, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was built in 1173, and even before they started, or even before they finished it, it was already leaning. Hence the need, as Paul says, for a good foundation. They built it on sand. So through the century, there were attempts to fix the Leaning Tower of Pisa, all of which made it worse off than it was before. And the worst was in the 1930s when Mussolini tried to fix it by just pouring concrete down underneath it. Now, John Berlin said that when they did a computer model to determine how much further it would have to tilt before it would fall over, you know what they found? It should have already fallen. And they were able to come up with a really creative way to keep the Leaning Tower of Pisa from falling. But Berlin said it would have been much easier if they had built on a solid foundation. Now, what's the foundation you're building your life on? If your foundation is anyone or anything other than Jesus Christ, you're building on sinking sand. Paul says Jesus is the foundation. But especially with the weather that we're having here, just having a foundation isn't enough, right? You need to build on that foundation. So Jesus is the foundation, but then Paul says, you have a choice of building. Are you going to build for the present or for all eternity? And Paul says you have choices of building material. And be very careful how you build. Now, they're renovating the manse kitchen. And I came home Friday, and guess what happened? The contractors had managed to cut off the electricity, the gas, and the telephone, and more importantly, the cable TV. Now, they weren't careful in the way they were building. But I think sometimes we're rather careless in the way we build our lives, the way we build our churches. We don't set off to be careless. We have really good plans. We've got a very good foundation. Well, so Holly is on this Do-It-Yourself Academy. And Tommy Welsh said, this husband of hers can't be as apt as he seems. So they invited me to be on an episode. And they invited me to be on an episode with a very posh, wealthy woman from Kensington, who knew almost as little about home repair as I did. And we messed up our assignment, and we were whispering back and forth, let's make it look good. We may have messed up, but we can cover up our mistakes. Now, I was in the Star Ferry 2 days ago, and I made the mistake. I was going to buy an object lesson. I was going to buy a watch. You know, this is the first time I've been around the Star Ferry where someone hasn't offered to sell me a watch. But I wanted to say, hey, how do you like my new Rolex watch? Now, it may be all plastic inside, but you can't tell that, can you? It may look like the real deal. Well, just like this woman and I said, let's fake it. And we can have fake watches. We can have fake spiritual lives as well. Paul says you can use wood, hay, and stubble. Or you can use gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, gold, silver, and precious stone, that's built to last, but very costly. Wood, hay, stubble, cheap. So why not build our building out of wood, hay, and stubble, and then go get some silver and gold spray paint? And spray it so it looks really impressive. And maybe we can fool other people into thinking we're the real deal. Well, that wouldn't work, and my TV debut didn't work either because we didn't realize there was a hidden camera. So people are snickering, and late night you can see me on TV some night, and you can snicker too about these guys who think they're fooling people, but they're really not. So The question is Jesus your foundation? And then how are you building? Are you building on that foundation for it to last? Because Paul says, you're not building for yourself. You're building for God. And He is going to see how you built. And these are verses that I wish weren't in the Bible, but they are. Let's look at them just for a second. Benjamin builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. His work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. Martin Luther said there are only two important days in your life, your birthday and the day. And the day is when God comes in all His glory. And friends, there is an end to this, and God is going to put things to right. Christ will come in all His glory, and there will be judgment. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The Bible is very clear. We can't build by ourselves. Jesus is our foundation. And if we have Jesus as our foundation, in that day of judgment, we will be saved. But some of us are going to smell like smoke. Some of us are going to have wasted a whole life without much to show for it, because we didn't build our lives and our churches to last. Jesus is the foundation. Build upon it carefully, because one day the owner is going to hold you accountable. But then he says something truly extraordinary in verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Genesis. We talked last week of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, where God and Adam and Eve could communicate with each other. But then there's the fall. We're east of Eden. But early on in the history of Israel, we read in Exodus chapter 40 about a tabernacle. A tabernacle where God revealed His glory and His presence. And then there was a temple that was destroyed. Then there was another temple. And for the Jewish person at the time that Jesus lived, at the time now that Paul is writing, the temple is where heaven and earth meet. A very sacred, wonderful place. Now, Jesus was looking at the temple, and friends, the temple was spectacular, and it was built on rock. And Jesus says, this will be torn down, but it will be rebuilt. And He was talking about Himself. Because Jesus made the claim that I am the temple. I am the meeting place between heaven and earth. Now, that's a radical thing to understand. But then Jesus says that you are the temple. You are my temple. That's where heaven and earth meet. Now just think about that for a second. What does it mean to be the dwelling place of God? And then if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 21, the second to the last chapter in the Bible. John writes in verse 1, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more pain or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is the Lamb. and nations will walk by its light, and kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. What an incredible eternal future we have. There will be no need for the temple because God and humanity will once again be restored into full fellowship for all eternity. But in the meanwhile, Paul says, Jesus says, you who follow my Son, God says, are my temple, the church. Now, I've been employed by the institutional church all my life, and I almost hate to say this, but I wish God had asked me. Because if he had, I would say, God, there's certainly a better way to convey your glory than the church. Odila, God bless you for what a wonderful story about when church works right. But there's a lot of people who could stand up and give a story about church not working right. But how can we be God's temple? How can we be a place where we worship, where we witness, where we support and encourage each other, where we build up the temple in a way that helps heaven and earth come together right here and now? Paul is saying, give up your puny ambitions, give up your fighting, give up your pettiness. Don't be people that God has to pity. Be people God can be proud of. Be a shining witness to Jesus Christ right where you are. There's going to be a combined Good Friday service held at Union Church with several churches. I think it's wonderful. It's an example of the unity that we have with other churches. But let me confess, I was at an incredibly boring planning meeting, 2.5 hours. Now, the worst thing you can have is 5 ministers trying to plan a worship service. But in the middle of the worship service, God showed up in a very special way. There was a knock on the door, and in came someone from India. Now, he had come to Hong Kong to work. He had overstayed his visa. He got turned in to the government and was thrown in prison. But while in prison, ICM, Inner City Ministries, one of the ministries that this and many other church supports, had sent some people to the prison to visit him. They provided him some help, some economic help, some legal help, but most importantly, they told him about Jesus. And this Indian person gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. And he was coming to this meeting because he heard that some ministers from churches that supported ICM were at this meeting, and he wanted to thank us. Not for the legal advice that got him out of jail just long enough to hop on a plane to go to India, but providing people who introduced him to Jesus Christ. And afterwards, we got to our bickering about the planning, and we said, oh, you know, this is really what it's all about. Showing the world Jesus Christ. In our individual lives, as our life is a congregation, what a privilege we have. We are God's temple. Let's stand for the closing song.